Psalms chapter 51, let's begin to read. The Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you, Lord, for just another time to be here. But Lord, we ask this morning that you would help each heart. Lord, you know folks' hearts this morning. And God, I pray that we're focused and that and centered upon the Word of God. I pray that you'd keep hindrances in that far, far away from this house this morning. God, I pray this morning if there's somebody here lost that you might save them. God, I pray that you'd touch them and bring them to a place of repentance. Lord, that they truly might get saved this morning. Lord, I ask you this morning to help the one that has a need. Maybe somebody's cold and indifferent on you. They've let sin and that come into their life. And Lord, I pray that you would show them that they need to get right with you. And Lord, they can restore that relationship that they once had. And Lord, I pray that you would help them see their need in you this morning. God, we just love you and we thank you now. God, I beg for your help. Lord, I pray that you'd just come by and touch. And Lord, we just pray that you'd anoint us afresh from heaven. And Lord, we need you. We certainly need you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done so far in this service today. Save that sinner's newest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach having a thought out of Psalms chapter 51 on what to do when you do wrong. Now, if you come to the place that you think that you can't sin and that as a Christian or as a believer that you won't do wrong, or that you have attained perfection. Little John said that if we say that we have no sin, we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. And so we have to understand, friend, that when me and you got saved, our flesh did not get saved. Now, I'm not going to condone you sin, and I'm not going to tell you that, we're still in the flesh, so we just might as well sin. That's not the truth this morning. The truth of the matter is that the Apostle Paul told Timothy to flee also youthful lust, but to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And so we are to that stay away and that from things that entice us or that are a temptation for us to sin. Even though you're saved, your flesh is not. But we can guard ourselves. We can guard ourselves. Listen to me now. We can guard ourselves to keep sin away from us. Amen. Ain't that right, church? You and I do not have to sin. But you know one thing I found out? We're going to. We're going to. Now, I don't want to make excuses for sin. You don't need to make excuses for sin. The matter of the fact is that we're not perfect yet. We're striving for perfection. We're looking for perfection. But as long as we're in this flesh, we're not going to have perfection. But you know that we can strive and live. I'll take your Bible though this morning and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And by way of introduction, I want to say that first of all, you have to understand something about your flesh. Your flesh wants to do wrong. It really does. It wants to do its own thing. Listen, the Bible said in Galatians 5, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I think a lot, looking over the house this morning, I would like to think that a lot of you have figured that out. I would like to think that a lot of us has figured out that our flesh and our spirit are contrary one to the other. Listen, it's a battle going on. Once you get saved, it becomes a battle on the inside. But look in Romans chapter 7. Look in Romans 7 this morning. Look in verse 15. Now we find the Apostle Paul, greatest apostle that there probably ever was, the apostle to the Gentiles. And he says in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I can sin unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, and then he puts in parentheses, that is in my flesh, and dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Ain't there something in you that always wants to do right? You know, if there ain't something in you that always wants to do right, you probably ought to get saved. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, there was a change took place when I got saved that makes me want to do right. I don't always get it right. I don't always do right. But boy, there's something on the inside of me that wants to do right. Ain't there something on you wants to do right? Amen. There is in me. He said, he went on to say, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And we've looked at that law before. Just as sure as we have the law of gravity, we have this law in verse 21 that when we want to do good, evil is present with us. Listen, every time you start out to do right, every time you start out to do good, there's always something there that is going to try to hinder you from doing good or right. It may be your flesh. It may be somebody else's flesh. It may be something that stops you or tries to stop you from doing it. But there's always something with us that keeps us from wanting to do good. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Sits on the inside. But I see another law in my members, talking about your flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Listen, there's sin that is still in us. The flesh is not saved. This thing is not saved. Hey, you have to let your inner man have control of your outer man, and it's a fight. If you don't think so, try it sometimes. Hey, you know why some folk constantly struggle with sin and battle with sin? And hey, I battle with it. I fight with it day in and day out. But you know why some more than others? Because they've never realized that, friend, it's a battle. They've never realized it's a fight. And they've got to let the inner man win. Amen. You have control of your flesh. I have control of my flesh. Folks say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do nothing. He didn't make you do a thing. I'll deal with that just here in a minute. But listen, as we look in the rest of this chapter right here, I want you to look at what he said. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Let me read that again. Look in your Bible. He's got an exclamation point out there. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Well, he realized the situation that he was in. He realized that there was sin that still dwelt in his body and that Satan was still after him and wanted him. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for that. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Boy, I tell you what, we want to serve God right and do right. But you know what? There comes some times that we're liable to do wrong. There comes some times that we're liable to do wrong. And I want to preach this morning, having that thought, on what to do when you do wrong. And there comes those times. And like I say, I don't want to make an avenue for you to do wrong. I don't want to condone doing wrong. I don't want to say, well, we're going to sin, so we might as well hit it full blast. That's not right. That's wrong thinking. If you're thinking that way, then friend, you already set yourself up and that for failure. Hebrews chapter 12, though, the apostle, the writer here said, wherefore, seeing also we're compassed with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easy beset us, and with run with patience the race that is set before us. And so I want you to think that there's some things that there's some sin, there's some things we like to do that comes in our life that is harder for us to say no to than other things. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things we would love to do, but we know they're not right to do, and we don't do them, but they're tough for us not to do them. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, it's got the wrong kind of language. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, when their temper flies away with them, the mouth's liable to get to rolling, and some things come out that shouldn't come out. Right. Shame on you if you do that. There's just some things that can get us in such a position that we're liable to do wrong. And so I don't want to preach having a thought on what to do when you do wrong. David had done wrong. David had, in this chapter, as he's getting right here, when he's praying to get right, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but David had Uriah, her husband, killed. And so David has committed adultery. David has committed murder. And so you can say that David done wrong, wouldn't you? David. A man that was after God's own heart, David done wrong. Now, when you think that you've arrived and you cannot do wrong, then you're in a mess. I'll tell you, because you'll never get right until you see that. Number one, what do we do when we see that we've done wrong? Number one, first of all, let me say that we need and that to confess our sin. You got to come clean about some things. You don't have to come clean to me. You don't have to come clean to somebody else. But the very first thing you got to do is come clean with God and come clean with yourself. I mean, it's like getting saved. One of the biggest obstacles I think that sinners have is they've got to come clean with their self and come clean with God that they're lost and they need to get saved. At least that may be you this morning. You've never come clean about that thing and you just need to come to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me. Hey, I admit it to you. I know it. Hey, the same thing in our life. When sin comes in, we've got to come clean with God. We're going to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Listen, you've got to be honest. David, at this time, has got backed into a corner. Listen, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan backed him up into a corner over there, didn't he?
Right.
Come over and told him a little story about one little ewe lamb. And backs him up in that corner over there. And David begins to tell Nathan, said, this man surely shall die. But he'll restore fourfold before he does. And Nathan looks at him and says, thou art the man. Hey, God, I had David's number. If you let me say that. But he had to confess some things. First of all, can I tell you, in confessing, we got to get brokenhearted over sin, don't we? You ever get brokenhearted that you've done wrong? You remember when you youngins, and maybe they come to you and told you they done wrong, or maybe you caught them doing wrong, and there's a difference in getting caught and feeling sorry that you got caught, and a difference in truly being sorry for what you done. Maybe something you said, maybe for something you did, there's a difference in getting caught and being sorry for being caught and truly being sorry for doing wrong. I believe right here, David had got put in the corner. But if you read this right here, I believe that David had got brokenhearted over his sin. Look in verse 8 with me for a minute. What does he say right here? He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Listen, David had come to a place that he had no joy in his life. I mean, it was gone. God, no doubt from the time that David done it till the time that Nathan backed him into a corner. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. From the time that you sin till God backs you up in a corner by the Holy Spirit one day, he's already working on you. I believe it already worked on David. He had hammered on him and hammered on him. And finally, David had enough. Look right here. Verse 8, he said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." I'm going to tell you, if you want to sin, it's going to ruin some things. It's going to rob you of your joy and gladness in the Lord. Amen. It's going to do it. Look in verse 16. Hold on a minute. Take your Bible and look in verse 3 first. What did he say in verse 3? He said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." Hey, listen, he said, "Lord," he said, "you've took my joy, you've took my gladness from me, you've broke my bones, and my sin is ever before me." He went to bed with it, he woke up with it, he lived with it during the daytime, and all he could hope for was to go to bed of the night to find some rest. Ever been there? Ever been there where all you want to do is sleep just so that you can get away from God? Why do you think Jonah was asleep in the bottom of that boat? You ever think about that? How could Jonah go to sleep in the bottom of that boat? Well, think about that for just a second. Why would Jonah go to sleep in the bottom of that boat? Why would Jonah go to sleep in the middle of that storm that was raging outside? Hey, that thing was raging because it was Jonah's fault, you see. And Jonah's in the very bottom of the boat, and he's went to sleep. Only way he could get away from God was to go to sleep. And by the way, God will show up in your dreams sometimes.
That's right.
Amen. That God will show up in your dreams. Psalm chapter 32, David's talking again about this situation. He said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah. He said, God's been against me all this time. Take your Bible and look in Psalms 38. Psalms chapter 38. Look with me real quick. What scripture say? He said, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine eyes stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." Mm-hmm. David said, there's no soundness in me because you're angry with me. I'll deal with that here in a minute. Well, let me say this. Boy, you sin, it just ruins the relationship that we've got with the Lord. But he said, "Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." He said, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." David said, "Because of my sin, because of my disobedience, because of my misdirection in my life, that I've done something wrong that I shouldn't have done. All these things has happened to me." You better listen to me. You say, "I ain't in sin, preacher." Then you better stay away from it. Because I'm going to tell you, there's no good ending and that to sin. There's not. There's not one good ending that's going to come out of sin. But David is in a place where he knows that he needs to get right. He knows that God is against him. But yet, he has not got right. He goes on down through here in verse 7, "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart." David was in bad shape. He was under conviction bad. I mean, God was beating the fire out of him, if you'd let me say it that way. I was not going to let him go. Hey, I'm glad when you get saved, you belong to Him. And there's one good thing about the chastening hand of God. It proves that you're His.
Amen.
The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I told about the chastening hand of God, where all are partakers.
Right.
He said, if you do not, and that, well, let's look at it here.
Yeah,
I want to get this right. in Hebrews chapter 12 and down in the latter part of it, or at the first part, excuse me, down in verse 6. And he said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." Hey, listen, you know what he's saying? If you're living wrong and doing wrong, and it's contrary to the Word of God, and you're getting by, you's never saved, you's never made part of the family of God, hey, you can't get by in your sin. I can't get by in my sin. Folk tell me that they've been saved for 30 years, but yet for 29 and a half of them, they've been sinning like the devil. I never stepped in a foot in a church. Hey, then either God lied or they're lying. One or the other. You'll get mad at me for saying that, so happy. That's fine by me. But the Word of God is right. They need to get saved. That's what it boils down to. Listen, if they can live with no conviction in their life, if you can live with no conviction in your life and sin any way you want to sin and still tell me that you're saved, something's wrong, friend. Something's wrong. Folks just need to admit to the Word of God and come and get saved. Amen. I want you to look. He got brokenhearted over his sin. But then he took responsibility for his sin. Look in verse 1. Here's a problem we have today is getting folk to take responsibility for things. I mean, we're living in a generation where folk don't want to take responsibility for nothing. I was talking to a feller Friday evening. He was telling me about a feller in his church that he'd got hooked on painkillers, on opioids, and the church sent him to a place to help him get off of it. He went to work for another feller, or went to work for a feller, and somewhere in all that mess, he got hooked back on him again. The law ended up arresting him, and then they blamed the feller that he was working for because he should have been keeping a closer watch on him. Can I tell you today that if you get in sin, it's not my fault. It's not your mom and dad's fault. It's not your children's fault. It's not your spouse's fault. It's not God's fault. It ain't even the devil's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. Look what David's saying. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out," what did he say? "My transgressions." He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You notice he's taken possession of his sin and his transgression. "For I acknowledge my transgressions," see there, "and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." David takes responsibility for his sin. David did not blame Nathan. Hey, listen. Go back, take your Bible and go back to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. A lot of people want to blame the preacher. I've got used to that over the years. Nathan has brought that story to him and told him. In verse 7, Nathan said unto David, "Thou art the man." And so by the time Nathan gets done telling him what he'd done and backed him up in the corner, and in verse 13, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." David did not blame Nathan the preacher. David did not blame Uriah. David did not blame Bathsheba. David did not blame anybody but for his sin except himself. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to come and get right with God, if you're going to know what to do when you do wrong, is you have to take responsibility for your sin. You can't keep blaming everybody else for what's going on in your life. You have to take responsibility. I'm not trying to be a psychologist. I'm not trying to be a psychiatrist. I'm trying to be the preacher today that tells you you got to own up to your sin. Got to own up to it. Yeah, it was me that done it. Lord, and I sure am sorry about that thing. Hey, listen, David, he confesses his sin, but then he takes responsibility for his sin. He said, it was me. But I want you to look. When he confesses his sin and he makes takes responsibility for his sin. And by the way, you are responsible to the God in heaven for how you live. Amen. You're not responsible to me. You're not responsible to nobody. You're responsible to the God in heaven for how you live your life for him down here. So God don't care. You're mistaken. I want you to look what David desired. He said in the very first verse, he said, have mercy upon me. He said, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. David said, Lord, I know that I've done wrong, and it was my fault. It was not your fault, but it was my fault that I'd done this. But you know what he said? Lord, even though it was my fault, would you please have mercy on me? What do? When you do wrong, you confess your sin. Listen, you take responsibility for it. You get brokenhearted over that thing. Hey, I'm telling you, you got to get brokenhearted. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. David understood he had to have a broken heart about his sin. You watch folk come and get right, and they say they got right. And listen, I'm not the judge on these things, but I'm going to tell you, when folk just come down, it's more than just a mere, I'm sorry, Lord, and then get up and go back and sit down. And say, hey, God wants a broken heart. I remember one Thursday morning there at the Fab Shop a long time ago, I remember Charlie Brown getting right. There, right after devotions was done, and we were praying, and man, I'm telling you, talking about a boy that was brokenhearted. I mean, he just stayed down on his knees. We got done praying. All them men got up and went back to work, and me and two other fellas stayed in there with him, and he just wept and cried and pleaded and begged and just wanted to get right with God. You're talking about a fella that's brokenhearted for the shape that he'd got in. He was brokenhearted. You don't see that too often anymore out of safe folk. You don't when they do wrong. God will say, it'll be all right. No, it ain't going to be all right. It ain't going to be all right. But David, you know what he wanted? Ain't you glad God's got mercy today? Well, I'm glad he's got mercy. Boy, David wanted mercy. You know what mercy is? You know what mercy is? Mercy is the very fact that we didn't get what we deserve. Mercy is the very fact. Go back. I'll just go back over here and read it to you. You go back to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. David... Nathan hems him up again and begins to talk to him. And you know what? In verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Do you realize that under the law, David should have died? David committed adultery. The law called for both the man and the woman to be killed. Do you know that? Go back and read the law.
Amen.
Listen, not only had David committed adultery, but David in that committed murder, and God tells him so. I mean, if you look in verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. God knew.
Amen.
God knew what he had done. God knew that he had hatched that plan in his mind and had Joab to fulfill it and to do it. But God blamed David for that sin. Not Joab. Because David was the one that done it. But you know what? Nathan said, God has put that thing away from you, David. You're not going to die. God would be justified and right in wiping us out when we sin. Do you know that? He would be. He would be. But because of his mercy and his loving kindness, boy, you're to come and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and I desire your mercy. I really do. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Boy, I'm telling you, there's going to come a day that'll run out. Boy, you're to do it while you got it. Amen. Just let him have mercy on you. Maybe you're lost today, need to get saved. Why don't you come and have mercy? Well, listen, if you ain't right with God, you can have mercy on your life. But then not only do you confess your sins, number two, you forsake your sin. A lot of folk don't have a problem confessing their sin.
It's getting away from it that they struggle with. Hey, listen, confession is one thing, but forsaken is another. Proverbs chapter 28 said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." What did David want? He wanted mercy, didn't he? I believe he knew. I believe he knew how to find mercy. He had to repent. You know what the word repentance means? To be sorry for and to turn from. That's what it means. And so David, he realized that he was not only going to have to be sorry for his sin. What to do when you do wrong? Be sorry for your sin, but then forsake your sin. Confess your sin, and then forsake your sin. And listen, you can't repent without leaving your sin behind. You go over and you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 where Paul talks about how that godly sorrow godly sorrow worth repentance to salvation. And I know he's talking about how to get saved right there. Hey boy, I tell you, without godly sorrow, you can't get saved. Get sorry for being a sinner. But if you look in the prior verse, he said, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance." He said, boy, you come to a place in your life to where you not only confessed your sin, you got sorry and brokenhearted for your sin, and then you repented of that sin. You turned away from it. You not only got sorry for it, you not only got convicted for it, you not only got come and confessed it, but you turned from it. What to do when you do wrong? Confess it, but then forsake it. Well, because in confessing it, you're going to be finding the mercy of God. Ain't that something today? So, preacher, we all know this. Hey, we've got some young people in here that needs to know these things.
Amen.
Listen. Can I say this? I meant to say this in introduction, I think. But the older we get and the more we mature in the Word of God and in our Christian life, we ought to do wrong less. It's easier for that newborn Christian who is being trained and who is learning and that for them to do wrong. Ain't your children the same way? Don't they have a tendency to do more wrong when they're little and when you're trying to train them and raise them up? Hey, because why? You're teaching them, ain't you? Well, the Lord's doing us the same way. But you know, eventually they ought to get old enough that, hey, they ought to know the difference between right and wrong. And the same goes in our Christian life. There comes a time that it ought to be out of character for us. I'm not saying that we can't do wrong. I'm just saying that that when we do wrong, that it ought to just really be out of character for us to do that. But I want you to look, number three, not only did he confess and not only did he forsake, I've got to hurry, running out of time, I want you to look at verse 4. He said, against thee, he realized that it was against the Lord. He said, against thee only have I sinned. So he knew that it was God that was watching. He knew that it was God that, number three, that his relationship was going to have to be restored to. If you look in verse 7, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, I'll be clean." God, you're going to have to do that. Look in verse 9. He said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities." He said, "Lord, I want you to forget about my sin. Those things that had stopped, those things that had hindered my relationship with you." But look in verse 10. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In verse 12, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Listen, David and that wanted a clean and a right heart with God. He wanted joy. He wanted a right spirit within him. Hey, listen, sin had robbed him of his relationship with the Father. Isaiah chapter 59, he said, "It is your iniquities that have hid my face from you." He wanted to be able to come and be before God. He wanted to be able to pray and to be heard. He wanted to come and worship. And the worship means something.
Amen.
Listen, see, that's what he was saying right here. If you go on down, and he said, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." Listen, God had required those things. God had given that in the law, that is what he wanted. But David said, for me to get right, that ain't what you want. He said, you want that broken heart and a broken spirit. That you won't despise that. So he wanted a right heart. He wanted that relationship between him and heaven. Well, I'll tell you, that's one reason I try to stay away from sin. That thing right there. That relationship, that avenue to heaven and from heaven back to me. Hey, listen, I don't want that thing cut off. It is a fragile relationship. I listen, not on his part, but on our part. God will not have no part of sin. He is a holy, a just, and a righteous God. He is not going to take part in sin. I don't care who you are. When the prodigal left home and ended up in a far country, where did the father stay? Stayed at home, didn't he? He didn't chase him down there in the far country. No. And our Heavenly Father's not going to do the same thing. He'll send the Holy Spirit down there to tell us that we're wrong, that we need to get right. But that's about it, friend. He's not going to come and fellowship with us when we're in sin. But David had lost his joy. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sin robs us of our joy in salvation. Sin will do it every time. There's joy in being saved, church. There's
Amen.
Joy.
Amen.
What's that old song? How's that old song? There is joy divine that is ever mine since the Lord hath forgiven me. Huh? Song's right. Word of God's right. There is joy in being saved. But yet, when we do wrong, the joy gets robbed. And so the great thing about what to do when you do wrong is you confess, you forsake it, but then you restore that relationship that you once had with the Father. When you come and you say, I'm sorry, kind of like the prodigal son did when he came back home. Boy, he just found himself down there at the Father's feet. You know, the Father run out there to meet him. He fell down. The Bible said that he fell on his neck. And boy, he just got right. Out there in the middle of the road. And you know what happened? That relationship got restored back to the Father. And you know something else? You know, for you to have that joy back in your heart, not only are you going to have to restore the relationship or let the Lord restore the relationship, you're going to have to go back to your Bible reading, to your prayer time, and all those things. But you know, to get right, you may have to go get right with some people. In your sin, you may have done some people wrong. You may have said some things to some people that you shouldn't have said. I might have said some things that I shouldn't have said. Matthew 5 tells us, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, remember that thy brother has nought against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Before you come to worship, you go get things right with your brother. That's what he's saying. Before you come to worship, before you come to me, he said, you go get things right with your brother. You see, you can't worship right when there's something between you and your brother. Boy, you're talking about hindering the church. Let two or three people get some oughts against one another, and it'll shut the meeting down. Right there on the spot. I remember I got down in Tuscaloosa one time right before I come here to pastor. It's been that long ago. Man, long time ago. I remember preaching down there, but I remember preaching right before I got started. Now, I don't know why the Lord had me do this. I do too. But at the time, I didn't know. And I got talking about bitterness being in the church and folk being against each other. And then we go out to eat with some folk from the church, and they begin to tell me some things. About how this one's against that one's against this one. And I thought, my soul, God knows, don't he? Anyway, let me get back to this here. A restoration, restore. That means to put it back the way that it was, you see. Folk tell you, well, you can't always have the relationship that you had with God before you sin. I know there's some scars, I'm getting ahead of myself, and there's some things that get in there, but yeah, I believe you can restore that joy that you once had. You might have to make it right with other people before you can get it all straightened out. But you need to go get it right. Then in verse 13, you need to start doing what's right. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation in verse 12. In verse 13, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted into thee. Something that David was not concerned with till he got right. In other words, telling others about the Lord.
If you go on down through here, he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He said, not only am I going to tell others about you, I'm going to come and sing praise unto you. He said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David said, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to tell others about you. Start doing what you know to do is right. What to do when you do wrong? Confess your sin, forsake your sin, have that relationship restored. Well, there's nothing worse than having a bad relationship between you and one of your best friends. Is there? Something get in there that shouldn't be in there to start with. Maybe one of you said something or done something that you shouldn't do. But there's something I want you to remember, last of all. Well, before look in verse 19, then I'll move on to the next point. After he talks about doing right and talk about that the sacrifices of God or a broken heart. But then when he gets down to verse 19, he's finally got everything straightened out and right before God. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. He said, then you can come and worship. Then you can do what's commanded of you in the law. But you can't do that. You can't do what's commanded of you and me be pleased when you're not right with me. It's like getting up in a choir. If there's sin in your life, I'm saying it ain't going to help you a whole lot. And God really ain't pleased with it. He just ain't. I'll just be honest with you. You say, well, I'm doing what I know. You're not doing what you know to do. You know to get right. That's what you know to do. I've already told you that. So I know that you know. But then number 5. What to do when you do wrong? I want you to remember this. Number 5 and last of all. That we're always going to reap what we sow. Galatians 6 and 7. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Take your Bible and go back to the book of 2 Samuel. Look with me now. I'm fixing to close, okay? Boy, I've been feisty today. And boy, ain't it been an exciting message. Amen. We've been shouting her out, ain't we? I don't know why I thought we would. Time you get to preaching on sin, boy, that thing's really going to go good, ain't it, huh? 2 Samuel chapter 12. Look in verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. God said, David, if you would have just asked for more, I'd have given it. I'd have given it. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, watch right here, the sword shall never depart out of thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Can I tell you, that's exactly what happened. Absalom run him off the throne. Amen. Man, they set tents up there on top of the palace, and everybody seen what Absalom was doing with David's wives when he was on the run. God brought that thing to pass. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, Lord, hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to thine enemies, of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. First of all, the very first thing that David had to endure because of his sin was the death of that child. Bathsheba brought that child forth, and 7 days later that child died. David laid out there on the ground for 7 days, in prayer and in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes, hoping that God would be merciful to that child. But God took him away. Why? David had sinned. Don't tell me that God won't use your children against you. Don't scare me, preacher. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to realize the truth.
Well, you get to messing around in sin, there ain't no telling what's liable to happen to you or your children.
Right.
Hey, not only that, but Nathan said, hey, look, said, the sword's never going to depart from thine house in verse 10. He said, it's never going to... Do you realize that David had trouble the rest of his life?
Amen.
Because of that sin. I mean, man, Absalom ended up killing one that was in Ammon, and Ammon had raped Tamar, and it was a mess after all that. All because of David's sin. Even though David got things right with God, and you say, well, I got things right with God. I'm doing right now, preacher. I made things right. I made things right with my family. I made things right with my friends. I understand that, but I'm going to be honest with you. Some of those seeds that we've sown back there, they're going to come forth one day. That's another reason I don't want to sin and do wrong. That stuff follows you around everywhere you go. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is, if you'll let me say it this way, there is a payday someday somewhere for sin. Even though you get right about that thing, it's going to come home. It's going to come home. And I think that's what people miss a lot of times, is they think, well, I've got right, so, you know, I've been forgiven of that thing. And you have. You have, but you understand, we sowed that thing in the flesh, and in the flesh it's going to come out to reap on us. You see. You say, well, preacher, you're preaching like you're scared to sin. There's a little bit of fear in there.
Amen.
There is some fear in there. I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of the God in heaven, of what I would do if I sinned and done wrong and departed and deserted. Oh, I do wrong all the time. Don't misunderstand me. Say wrong things, do wrong things, think wrong things. But I'm talking about those kind of things that disturb our relationship with the Father. Takes us away from Him and draws us away. Hey, I'm telling you what to do when you do wrong. Confess your sin. It's your fault. So you can blame everybody else, friend. You can blame everybody else, but somewhere along the line, you have got to take responsibility. Lord, it was my fault. That's what David said in Psalms chapter 51. He said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. It's my fault, Lord. It's not your fault, not my mom and daddy's fault, not my sister or my brother's fault, not the preacher's fault, not the Sunday school teacher's fault, not the deacon's fault, not anybody's fault sitting in the church. It was my fault. Don't believe they put a gun to your head and said, you got to sin. It's my fault. So you got to acknowledge your sin. You got to confess your sin, forsake your sin. In other words, repent of your sin, then restore that relationship back with the Father and start doing right. Start doing right. You know, it's that one preacher told his treasurer. His treasurer at the church had embezzled, I think it was about $50,000, $55,000 out of the church account. And he got right about that thing. Preacher told him, said, well, you just might as well just, said, everybody knows what you done. You just might as well come on to church. You've got things right. You just might as well just, you know, don't quit church. You got things right. Just come on back. Hey, listen, when folk get right, let me say this now. When folk get right, and they're truly right, and they have strived to get right with, if they've wronged you and they've tried to get right with you, listen, what who are we? I'm just being honest. And I'm in the same shape that you get into sometimes. Sometimes I wonder about people, and I'm not saying that time won't tell, but listen, we ought to be encouraging along the way. And say, yeah, I'm glad you got right. Just come on back and serve the Lord with joy and gladness. But always remember there's a reaping day somewhere down the road for that sin. Let's bow our heads across the house as we get a verse of invitation this morning. What to do when you do wrong? First thing to do is get right. Just get right about it. Just come to the Lord and get right. Confess it. Forsake it. Get that relationship restored back that you once had. That had joy and happiness in it. Do you got joy and happiness in your life? Or is there something that you're going to bed with and waking up with that's between you and God and it's just hindering your relationship between you and God? You refuse to get it right. God has a way of getting our attention. He got David's attention with Nathan. He got Jonah's attention with the storm. And even when he didn't heed to that storm, he got Jonah's real good attention with that whale. And he has a way. Listen, if there's some wrong in your life that you need to come and get right, I want you to come this morning. Make things right. So, well, if I come, preacher, everybody, hey, it ain't nobody's business what you come to the altar for. It ain't nobody's business. You might need to come and pray for somebody. Now listen, you might need to come pray for yourself. Say, Lord, I'm just sorry for some things that I've done, for some things that I've said, for the way that I've acted. And Lord, I'm just sorry about those things. Give me the strength to get right with this person, with that person. I'm going to go do it with your help. But Lord, most of all, have mercy on me and just forgive me where I failed you. Listen, this morning, if you need to come, I want you to come. If you've never been saved, I want you to come and get saved this morning. No better morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help during this invitation. Thank you so much that, Lord, that when we mess up the first time or the 30th time or the 300th time, as you told Peter over there, how many times are we to forgive our brother? Not 7 times 7, but 7 times 70 in a day. In other words, unlimited. And Lord, I'm glad your forgiveness is unlimited when we mess up. That when that relationship gets hindered, that you're willing to restore it when we come back. That you don't hold it against us. I thank you for that, Lord. There may be some folk here that this is just a good warning to them, and I pray they'll put it in their heart, and as they go to live for you, they'll remember this, and that I will remember this. And Lord, that you just help this morning. There may be folk need to come do business with you. I pray they'll do it. Would you help right now during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name?